Hey y'all. Okay, we are talking about the RFCC method today. Specifically, we're going to focus on the F. For the past few videos and posts, I've been talking about repentance. What does true repentance look like? What it doesn't look like? What it involves? What it doesn't involve? And we've been talking about, you know, the first step to healing, to freedom, to restoration. And the process that I went through was repentance. And specifically, in two of the videos I talked about, we broke down Psalm 51 prayer. We also talked about repenting and renouncing, not just abortion, but repenting and renouncing for all of the works of the flesh that we find in Galatians 5, 19 through 21, as well as the sins that God hates, which is found in, I think, Proverbs 6. I don't have the verses for y'all, but Proverbs 6. And so today we want to kick off and start talking about forgiveness. I believe it's the second step. And we're going to talk about more so God receiving God's forgiveness. But then also I'm going to add and talk a little bit about how it's important to also forgive yourself. I know some people agree with that. Some people disagree. I'm just telling y'all the process I went through. It worked for me. And so I'm praying that it also works for you. And so let's get into what does it mean to forgive, okay? And so forgive means to excuse. It means to forget. What? It means to excuse, to forget, to release, to let go, or to dismiss from your mind. Now, I can make up the definition, okay? And so we're going to get into it. Let me just keep going. So I'm going to repeat it. To forgive means to excuse, to forget, to release, to let go, or to dismiss from your mind. And it's when you absolve somebody, a person, or yourself from an offense, and you no longer hold on to, you no longer feel the resentment against that person or yourself, okay? And I'm talking about a person or yourself because it's going to play into, like, why we need to also forgive ourselves. And so we're talking about forgiveness. That's the definition of forgiveness. And we want to keep in our mind that that definition is what it is. To excuse, forget, release, or dismiss from your mind, okay? And why am I stressing this particular point? Because the world wants to teach us and the world wants to convince us that we should forgive and not forget. And that's a dangerous doctrine. That's a dangerous practice to begin to stand for, to believe in, to accept, and to practice. It literally is telling us, like, hey, I'm going to forgive, but I'm not going to forget. I'm going to forgive you for what you did to me, but I'm not going to ever forget. And that's dangerous. And this is a common misconception, and it's very horrible advice, if I can just say so myself. If you want to forgive someone, but you are intentionally making a choice to never forget what they did, you are not truly forgiving them by reason of the definition. If forgive means to forget and you choose to forgive but not forget, it doesn't even make sense. And so I'm gonna pull up this other definition. I'm just gonna Google definition for forgive. And they gave me forgiveness, but I want to do forgive, okay? The definition per Google is to stop feeling angry or resentful towards someone for an offense or a flaw or a mistake. And those synonyms are pardon, excuse, exonerate, absolve, acquit, to let off, right? It also means to cancel a debt. Imagine Sally Mae, right, cancels your debt, forgives your debt, but continues to send you emails saying, hey, we canceled this, but we ain't gonna forget you used to owe us this amount of money. Like, what in the world? That doesn't even make sense. And so you can't be like, it's literally heresy. We talked about heresy in another video when we're talking about the works of the flesh. It's when you begin to claim or stand for or accept a doctrine that goes against the word of God, right? And so that's a doctrine, forgive but never forget. And I'm going to get into some scriptures later on that shows how this directly goes against the word of God, the teachings and the principles of our faith, Christianity. And so by making a choice to never forget what someone did to you or what you did to you, you are not truly forgiving them, or you are not truly forgiving yourself. And to continuously remember, why would you put yourself through that? I'm going to forgive you, but I'm never going to forgive. Why would you continue to, why would you want to continue to hold on to the pain, to the thought, to the experience, the memory of what that person did to you or what you did? To continuously remember the offense, the thing that they did wrong to you, that means you are making a choice to continue to hold on to the resentment, to continue to hold on to the bitterness, to continue to hold on to whatever feeling that that offense caused you to feel in your heart towards that person. And so when you really start thinking about it, it doesn't make sense to forgive but never forget. And I just want y'all to imagine too, especially for my believers, because if you're not a believer, a lot of this won't even really apply to you because you don't stand on Bible anyway, right? And so it wouldn't make sense for, even though you can take it, you know what I'm saying? And I'm going to go through the scriptures too, because it's my desire for anybody who's listening to this, whether you're a believer or not, that you will understand what it means to forgive, what true forgiveness look like. So that you too can have healing, so that you too can experience the freedom that comes with forgiveness, okay? And going back to what I was saying, like, imagine God doing that to us, right? How would you feel as a son or daughter of the Most High God, right? Or even if you're thinking in the natural, like, how would you feel if you're a parent, right? If you ask for forgiveness, mom, I'm sorry, dad, I'm sorry that I did this, I acted this way, I was disobedient, and, you know, your parent responds, I forgive you, but I'm never going to forget. I'm going to forgive you for disobeying me because I told you to take out that trash, but I'm never going to forget that one time you didn't take out the trash. I'm never going to forget that you didn't wash them dishes like I told you to. I'm never going to forget that you snuck out the house. I'm never going to forget that you dropped that bowl of cereal on the floor and didn't say nothing to me for 2 days. I'm never, like, I'm just talking off the top of my head. But you know what I'm saying? Like, how would you feel as a child? You know what I'm saying? A young child. And you're saying, oh, dad, I'm so sorry. I made a mistake and broke this. And your parent comes and say, I forgive you for breaking it, but I'm never going to forget that you broke my favorite. What? How would you feel as a child? And so think of that same thing when it comes to God. If you're saying, you know, if God comes to you and is like, hey, I forgive you for doing that thing, for disobeying me, disobeying my commandments. I forgive you for that sin that you did. I forgive you for that proud look. I forgive you for that lying tongue. I forgive you for the feet that you have that are swift to mischief. I forgive you for murder. I forgive you for all the things that you have done, but I'm never going to forget that you did it. What kind of a God? Would you still want to serve that God who's like, I'm going to continue to hold this over your head? That sound like something Satan do. How would you feel? Because when you don't release it from your mind, you're going to hold on to it. So when you choose to forgive and not forget, you're making an intentional decision to hold on to whatever that thing is. So it's for the people who, you know, whether it was rape, whether it was molestation, whether it was an abortion, whether it was somebody forced you to have an abortion, whether whatever, it don't matter what it is. It could be somebody simply talking behind your back. It could be somebody spreading a rumor about you that is not true. It could be somebody giving a false witness or a false testimony about you. It could be somebody who said they were going to do something and they didn't come through on what they said that they were going to do. Anything somebody said that they were going to do that you and they never came through, like whatever it is, if you choose like, hey, I'm going to forgive you, but I'm never going to forgive that you not a man of your word. I'm going to forgive you, but I'm never going to forget that you not a woman of your word. I'm going to forgive you, but I'm still going to make sure I keep it in the back of my mind that you not loyal. Like, why would we want to continue to think every time you see that person, you're going to, because you chose not to forget, because you chose not to let that thing fully go, because you chose not to release them fully. Now, every time you see them, you're going to remember like, oh yeah, they did this. You're going to be walking around, you know what I'm saying? Like, there that person go. Cause you're going to remember it. Cause you chose to, right? And I love this scripture in Micah chapter 7, verse 19. It says, he will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. So he's saying that when we sin, he is willing, he is going to, he is able to cast that thing down into the depths of the sea, to subdue it, to cover it up. And he chooses, because of his unfailing love, because of his loving kindness, because of his grace and his mercy and his goodness, God, he chooses to now have compassion upon us. So when we forgive, that's us having compassion upon other people. So how can we expect a good God to be compassionate towards us when we're not compassionate towards others or even ourselves? And so this is what true forgiveness looks like. The fruit of true forgiveness is going to be peace, and it's going to be freedom. It's not going to be, I'm going to constantly hang this thing over your head. I'm going to constantly hang this offense over your head. That's not true forgiveness. True forgiveness is going to give you access again to the power that your offender or whoever, whatever you want to call them, is going to give you access again to the power that that person took from you or that you gave away. Right? True forgiveness is like a key to wholeness. It's literally a key and a step toward wholeness, toward restoration. And so another great example of forgiveness and true forgiveness is when Jesus washes Judas' feet. And this is one of those last examples of Jesus showing love to the disciples before his work on the cross. And we know the story of Judas. We know who Judas was. And the scripture tells us that the devil had already put it in Judas's heart to betray Jesus, right? And so Jesus, he knows all. He already knew what was going to happen. He knew of this forthcoming betrayal that was going to happen. Yet in verse 5 of the scripture, it literally says that he still began to wash the feet of the disciples. And he even stated that some of them were clean, but not all of them were clean. Wow. God, his compassion. Imagine somebody know that you finna betray them. Somebody know that you about to be the person who really starts the process of my persecution, who starts the process of, you know, slandering my name, who starts the process of me being persecuted, me eventually dying, that kind of stuff. Like this person, imagine knowing that this friend is about to betray you, and yet still, because of the compassion, because of the love, because of who you are, you still chooses to wash that person's feet. Knowing that they're not, their motives are impure, their thoughts are impure, knowing that they're about to betray you, whether you finna wash their feet or not. Like, can you imagine knowing that your best friend or your sibling is going to betray you, and yet you still have to show up and love them and support them at their event that they're putting on? You still choose to wash their feet. We even see this on the cross. After Jesus has been beaten, after he has been falsely accused, after he has been betrayed, after people have denied him, after all of these things, he still chooses to do what he has set out to do, what he was put on the earth to do, despite the ways he has been treated, despite the false accusations, despite the slandering of his name and his character, despite his reputation being shot up, despite all of the things, the hurt, the agony, all of this, despite the pain that he has experienced, even as the blood, the sweat, the tears, all of those things fall down his bruised face, his bruised body, he still chooses to say, "Father, forgive them." Meanwhile, somebody go spread a rumor about us, and we ready to call the people. We ready to call the troops. We ready to call the squad. We ready. It's because we don't have a revelation of what true forgiveness looks like. In Luke chapter 23, verses 33 through 34, it says, "And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left, then said, 'Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.' And they parted his raiment and cast lots." He's literally hanging on a cross, beaten, bruised, in pain, hurt, and he's still like, "Father, forgive them," because they don't even know what they're doing. A lot of time there's people who hurting you and they don't even know that they're causing pain towards you. They don't even know, you know what I'm saying? They don't even realize the depths of the pain that you've experienced after what they did. And there are so many other scriptures in the Bible where true forgiveness is exemplified. We see it with the woman who was caught in the act of adultery. When Jesus said, "Hey, neither do I condemn you, go and sin no more." When everybody else was ready to stone her and punish her, Jesus wants to forgive us too. So in order to receive God's forgiveness, there are certain things that we must do. Like, it's not that you can work and perform certain things to receive God's forgiveness, but according to scriptures like 1 John 1:9, it does say, hey, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so whenever you see like a if and then in the Bible, that means it's a conditional promise. And this one is telling me, like, if I confess my sins, then the Lord will be faithful. He will be just to forgive me my sins. So that confession part is necessary. It is necessary, just for lack of better words, it is necessary in order to even receive God's forgiveness. We must be willing to confess our sins, because once we confess our sins, not only is he going to be faithful and just to forgive us our sins, he's also going to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, according to 1 John 1:9. If you keep going, the Bible says, you know, when we pray, we should ask God to forgive us our debts, but we also should forgive others. So not only should we confess our sins, but we also need to forgive other people. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, it says, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." You also see that same principle in the story with Peter. It says, "Then came Peter to him and said, 'Lord, how often shall we How often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? So Peter's like, listen, how often do I got to forgive this person? You may be in that same boat like, man, this dude keep betraying me. Like, this dude keep lying on me. This dude keep stealing from me. This dude, this person, they keep doing all of these things. How often, how many times I'm going to have to forgive them? Because then we hear those same little principles or concepts from the world that says, you know, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me type of thing. Meanwhile, this scripture is saying, listen, Jesus said to Peter, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Like, so that person can hurt you over and over and over again. And you think because that person had three strikes, they done for. You never gonna forgive them no more. Say, no, you continue to forgive that person. That person can lie and lie and lie again. You still are responsible for forgiving that person, especially if you want to receive God's forgiveness. And you may think it's unfair, but it really ain't even about you. It really ain't even about that person. And so I talked about receiving God's forgiveness, but then also, like, you can also forgive yourself. It doesn't just apply to forgiving others. For me, it was so hard to believe that I was forgiven. I literally did not understand, like, man, I thank God for forgiveness a zillion times. And I'm like, I kept thinking like it was a thing, like, oh, God didn't forgive me, or, you know, he could never forgive me my sin. But when I began, I'm like, I asked God a zillion times. On the first time, he said my sins were forgiven. But I constantly struggled with believing that I was truly forgiven. And I realized that it wasn't me believing that God didn't forgive me. You know, especially after reading the scriptures, I'm like, the scriptures are clear. And I realized that I hadn't forgiven myself. And because I hadn't forgiven myself, I was thinking that, you know, if I can't forgive me, then of course God can't forgive me. You know what I'm saying? And so I believed that God couldn't forgive my sin. But then it was more so because I hadn't forgiven myself. I constantly found myself walking in shame still, even after repentance, even after asking God for forgiveness. And I constantly found myself in this place where I was battling within myself, within my own thoughts. I began to make assumptions based on my own perceptions of others and God, and based on my own perceptions of myself. And I realized that I needed to get to a place where I was going to forgive myself. And so maybe you aren't struggling with receiving forgiveness from God. Maybe you too are like, I ask God forgiveness. I believe that he has forgiven me based on his word. He said, if I confess my sins, that he will be faithful and just to forgive me. I've confessed my sins. You may be thinking like, he said that he will forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And so I have consciously made a decision to forgive those who have hurt me. Now God has to have forgiven me because he's a man of his word. And so you may not be struggling to receive forgiveness from God. Maybe for you, you're struggling to forgive yourself. And the truth of the matter is, you just have to get to a point where you desire to live free. So much so that no one, not even yourself, not even the voices that want to lie and tell you that you're still not forgiven, like, not you, not a voice, nothing can hold you back from experiencing that freedom that you desire, from experiencing that healing and that restoration that you desire. And even more so than all of those things, from experiencing the love of God, from experiencing true freedom. And so the word tells us that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And so we have to get to a place where nothing else matters but God. You have to literally, we talked about it time and time again before in the previous videos, you have to get to a place of humility. You have to get to a place of realness, rawness, honesty. You have to get to a place where you are broken before God. You have to get to a place where you have humbled yourself and come from under self-pity, come from under pride and literally believe with all of your heart, with all of your mind, that you are forgiven. There's no step one, two, three when it comes to forgiving yourself. It's literally like, no, I believe the word of God. And because the word of God says, I've done this and now I'm forgiven, I'm forgiven. So God has already forgiven me. What's taking me so long to forgive me? What voice am I listening to that is telling me that I'm not forgiven and I'm believing it and it's causing me not to believe that I've been forgiven? And so that's the topic of forgiveness. A really quick snippet of forgiveness. We talked about what it means to forgive, and quickly, just to go back over that, if you missed the beginning, forgiveness is that second step to walking to receiving healing, to receiving restoration, to walking in true freedom. And to forgive means to excuse, to forget, to release, or to dismiss from your mind. And it's when you absolve someone or yourself from an offense and you no longer hold or feel the resentment against that person or yourself. So that person can walk past you and you don't feel no type of way because you have truly made a decision to forgive that person. You have truly made a decision to, like the scripture say in Micah 7:19, to subdue their iniquities even against you. Like, you decided to subdue those things in the depths of the sea. And you make a decision not to remember them or not to hold on to them. Because obviously we can't just erase things out of our memory like that. But we can make a decision that I'm not going to continue to dwell on what that person did to me. I'm not going to continue to go through that experience over and over again in my mind. I'm going to get to a place where I desire so much freedom that if that person walked past me today, I'm not going to feel no type of way because I have truly released that person from my heart. I've truly released that person from my mind, and I no longer will allow that person to have control over me receiving forgiveness from God. Amen. So as always, I'm going to save this video. And if you all have any questions or anything like that, feel free to DM me, comment, share if it's blessed you so other people can, you know, walk through this process of receiving God's forgiveness and forgiving themselves. All right, y'all. Bye.